Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Tuesday, May 15, 2018. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports for the next 60 minutes right here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. Also, what's up to those watching via the facebook.com/WKAR news live stream. Much love to you all, or maybe you have missed the show and maybe you're tuning in via WKAR.org and listening to the podcast. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a hot one. We've got a straight fire show. I'm looking forward to it. On today's current sports, of course, we will talk about the NBA playoffs. It kind of felt like, at least the mood did, yesterday before tip-off between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. That felt like an NBA Finals atmosphere, didn't it? All of the hype, you know, between these two squads. Houston able to pull out a win or some wins against the Warriors during the regular season, but the playoffs are a different monster. And when it's playoff time, especially, I mean, my goodness, we're a series away from now the NBA Finals. Talking about the Western Conference Finals now. I mean, when it's this time of the year, the Golden State Warriors are pretty much unbeatable. And they put on a show yesterday. It was a back-and-forth game. Houston comes out firing. James Harden looking like the MVP that I expect him to be crowned after this season. He was amazing. But at the end of the day, the Warriors are just too much. They have too many weapons. And, you know, a lot of people are now shifting their predictions. You know, a lot of people felt as though this one would go 6-7 games. I've seen sweep, the word sweep, put out there a lot since that game one went to the Warriors last night. So we'll dive into that. We'll also preview game two for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers as they now try to work themselves out of a 1-0 hole in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. We'll preview tonight's matchup. But before tonight's matchup, traditionally, this happens right around this time of the year, the NBA Draft Lottery. So for all of you NBA fans out there, the majority, of NBA fans out there who aren't rooting for, you know, the top tier teams out there like Cleveland, like Boston, like Golden State and Houston, the bottom barrel teams out there, have a little hope today because you possibly could get lucky and land a top pick in the NBA draft this summer because the NBA draft lottery will take place. We'll talk about the odds for my Detroit Pistons, which aren't great, but hey, you never know, right? You never know. That's why they call it a lottery. You just never know. You may hit on something big. So we'll talk about the NBA draft lottery and what the Pistons can look forward to, but also I'll put in perspective how they just completely botched any future hope of landing a young star in this year's NBA draft. And we'll also talk about some changes to the transfer rule from the Michigan High School Athletic Association that has a lot of people up in arms. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And, you know, on today's show, our guest will be Jeff Kimmerly, who is with the Michigan High School Athletic Association as the media and content coordinator, because I just don't understand these transfer changes. I don't know what led to them. I can pretty much guess what led to them, and that concerns a cough, cough certain incoming Michigan State men's basketball player who did not play in the high school realm this season. I didn't understand that story. I think that's what led to this transfer rule. We'll go through the details with Jeff Kimmerly. You don't want to miss that. And then on the back end, we'll talk a contract extension for John Beilein, quite possibly the best college basketball coach in the state of Michigan. That and so much more. You can be a part of the fun by just picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News or tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with a lawsuit that has been filed against Eastern Michigan University and its Board of Regents seeking to nullify the elimination of four sports programs, claiming the move was made in violation of the Open Meetings Act. Now, the university claims it did not violate the Open Meetings Act because eliminating sports programs did not require Board of Regents approval. The lawsuit claims that members met in secret to discuss the elimination of men's wrestling, men's swimming and diving, softball, and women's tennis programs, which was announced by EMU Athletic Director Scott Weatherby on March 20th to reduce its budget by $2.4 million. Now, we've been following that story here on WKAR's Current Sports. We had a former EMU wrestler come on and talk about the Save the Sports campaign that was put on by student athletes to try and save those sports that I just mentioned that are being cut due to budget deficits for EMU. This is going to be an ongoing story, and we'll be following it and providing more context when it comes to this lawsuit against EMU. Also, the Greater Lansing Hall of Fame Softball Classic kicked off yesterday and at Rainey Park here in Lansing. Monday's results look like this. Olivet just handed it to DeWitt, 15-0, and Eaton Rapids over Perry, 12-6, the final of that. Today, and it looks like, you know, we were just getting rain earlier on in the day. The rest of the day looks, you know, great. Sun will be poking out, you know, supposed to be in the 70s. Tonight at Rainey Park, you can catch Stockbridge versus Fowler. That will be a 6 p.m. first pitch. And then after that game, Grand Ledge and Fowlerville will go at it. All right, Lansing United also will be in action tonight, facing against Livonia City FC. That will be a 6:30 p.m. start time. Lan U comes into tonight's match with a 1-0-1 record after tying the Michigan Bucks in their last game by a score of 2-2. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts. Kevin Smith hit a walk-off single with two outs in the ninth inning as the Luggies defeated the Dayton Dragons 4-3 last night. Chavez Young scored the game-winning run after he hit a single with two outs and stole a second. Maverick Buffo, who was 5-1, got the win in relief, while Austin Orler took the loss in the Midwest League game. Now, with the win, Lansing remains undefeated, 5-0 against Dayton this season. The two will go at it later on tonight again. Michigan State baseball opens its final week of regular season action with its final in-state midweek game at in-state foe Central Michigan today. First pitch between the Spartans and the Chippewas, slated for 4:05 p.m. from CMU's Bill Tuison Stadium in Mount Pleasant. Michigan State now totes an 18-28 overall ledger into today's game, coming off a three-game Big Ten series at number 16 Minnesota. The Detroit Tigers beat the Cleveland Indians 6-3 last night at Comerica Park. Now, the win actually snapped an 11-game losing streak against the Indians dating back to last season. Mike Fiers turned in his best performance of the season, allowing one run on three hits over six innings. Very impressive stuff there. Warwick Saupold and Joe Jimenez were solid. With the win, the Tigers trail the Indians by two games in the American League Central. And as many of you know, the Golden State Warriors topped the Houston Rockets 119-106. They pulled away late in that fourth quarter, an outstanding third quarter for the Golden State Warriors, as things were not at all at halftime. But again, the cream always rises to the top this time of the year in the NBA playoffs, and the Warriors made it look easy. I'm curious to see what kind of adjustments that Mike D'Antoni makes in game two against the Warriors. But man, oh man, did they look good or what in that second half. And as many of you know, game two tonight, the Cleveland Cavaliers will play at the Boston Celtics. Game two of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. Tip time set for 8:30 p.m. The Celtics lead the series 1-0 after a 108-83 win in game one on Sunday. And when it comes to NHL playoff action, we saw yesterday the Las Vegas Golden Knights top the Winnipeg Jets 3-1. That series is now tied 1-1. And today you can catch the Tampa Bay Lightning taking on the Washington Capitals as Washington holds a 2-0 series lead. Puck drop set for 8 p.m. tonight. All right, and also, Pittsburgh Steelers minority owner David Tepper is expected to sign a deal today to buy the Carolina Panthers and keep them in North Carolina. A league source told that to ESPN. A source confirmed to ESPN that the Panthers will be sold for $2.2 billion. That will set a record for the highest sale price for an NFL team, surpassing the $1.4 billion that the Buffalo Bills were sold for back in 2014. The NBA's Houston Rockets also sold for $2.2 billion back in 2017. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to comment on any of those headliners or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News if you want to check out the live stream. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
I want you to feel what I feel.
What time is it? Game time!
I want you to feel the tears that I felt when I won the first one. Those tears and that pain, and I wanted that feeling at the end of every year, and that's hard. It's like a dependency. It's always going to be a part of you.
I know wherever you're listening, you just got goosebumps, didn't you? You heard the beginning of that intro, right? It was announced today, it actually broke around 6 a.m. today, that ESPN Films, and Netflix are teaming up. ESPN and Netflix, talk about a powerful combination, right? ESPN and Netflix teaming up on a piece entitled The Last Dance. Get this. It's a 10-part documentary series about basketball icon, the GOAT, the greatest to ever do it, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, that is set to premiere in 2019. How cool is that? It's directed by Jason Hare, who did the Fab Five for ESPN's 30 for 30 series. Also, the 85 Bears. He also has worked on Andre the Giant. It's being produced by Mike Tollin. And the docuseries, made with the full participation. Get this. We rarely see Michael Jeffrey Jordan in the public eye nowadays, right? The full participation of Jordan and other key figures from the Bulls championship teams features more than 500 hours of never-before-seen footage from the team's championship run in the 98 season, 97 and 98 season. And it really comes right on time, doesn't it? You know, right when we're in the thick of this whole who's the best, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. It's fitting, comes right on time, you know, as this generation, you know, has never really seen MJ play before, you know. And again, we're right in the thick of this conversation right now. Who's better, LeBron or Mike? I don't think it's even a conversation, but I seem to be having this debate left and right. I mean, just this past Sunday, I want to give a big shout out to Jack Ebling, Fox 47. Jack Ebling's press pass, and of course Jack has his radio show in the afternoons on the team 92.1 FM, the Drive with Jack and Tom. I got invited to be a part of Jack Ebling's press pass on Fox on Sunday. I was on the panel with Sean Bolesian, longtime Detroit, you know, sports radio broadcaster, does a lot of things with the Lions pregame show. Also Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, Graham and I, the things you don't see during a taping, right, a TV taping, or any broadcast for that matter. Graham and I were just kind of going back and forth about who's better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. And I got to get Graham Couch on the show soon because, you know, when I posted this video on my social media page of the trailer, you know, if you haven't seen the trailer, I'll be sure to post it on our current sports Facebook page, as well as our Facebook page at WKAR News as well, because it just gives you goosebumps and it comes right on time. You know, I think ESPN, they knew what they were doing, right? You know, LeBron James, who's facing a one game deficit now in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, ESPN decides to put this video of the GOAT today as we're previewing game two. ESPN knew what it was doing, right? But it won't come out until 2019. I'm excited to see it. The trailer looks awesome, and I think it will really really do a lot in educating today's young pups as to how great Michael Jordan truly was. All right, we got a lot to get to on today's current sports. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Briefly, I do want to hit on a hot topic that we discussed in length on yesterday's show, that being sports betting has now been legalized here in America. Can you believe that? A Supreme Court decision made yesterday morning ruled that, you know, not having sports betting here in America is unconstitutional. You know, states should be allowed to decide if they want to participate in letting the public bet in their respective state. So, you know, now, I believe that Michigan is going to jump on this gravy train now. You know, all signs point to Michigan allowing its residents to bet on sports, especially downtown Detroit. I mean, that just looks like the hub, right, for sports betting. If they in fact decide to have sports betting here in Michigan, I mean, you got casinos galore downtown Detroit, Motor City, you know, MGM Grand. I mean, you know, Greektown. You have your own little Vegas. That's what you'll have. Instead of, you know, in Vegas, I'm pretty sure those in Vegas right now, those who are running casinos in Vegas, weren't too happy about this because they were happy with that little monopoly that they had, right? You know, having, you know, that's a big part of their tourism. You know, having people travel across the nation to come to Las Vegas to bet on sports. That's what a lot of people love to do. Now, there are going to be a ton of states that say, Let's hop on this. Let's flood some money into our economy and have people bet. The question that I have for all of you out there, because we didn't get a lot of calls yesterday, but I want to know how big of an impact will this make on you? Will that ramp up? If you do bet on sports, if you do make the trip out to Vegas from time to time and bet on sports, now possibly having it in your backyard, now having it in your state, possibly, again, if Michigan rules on this, where you can, you know, just place a bet miles from where you are, will this increase your frequency when it comes to sports betting? Or will it have no effect on you? Will it have no effect whatsoever on you? You're gonna bet the same amount that you're betting right now, where you only do it a few times a year, where you go to Vegas and place a bet that way. Or who knows, maybe you're going online and using an offshore account, right? Who knows what you're doing? Will this increase your frequency? Or for those out there listening who have never bet on sports before, does this now intrigue you? Does this now, you know, do you look at the story and say, well, I've never been able to do this here in Michigan. Why not put $5 here and there on a game? Why not? I'll dabble a bit in it, even though I've never done it before. Will this increase your frequency? And for those who have never bet before, will this intrigue you enough to play around with it? I'm curious. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the question I have for you all. All right. Shifting from that now to the NBA Draft Lottery. Want to let you guys know that the NBA Draft Lottery will take place tonight at the Palmer House Hilton in Chi-Town in Chicago, Illinois, right before tip-off of the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics Game 2. When it comes to the Detroit Pistons, the Pistons have a minuscule chance of winning tonight's NBA Draft Lottery and really a slim chance of landing in the top three. Luke Kennard, you know, it's always fun watching the NBA Draft Lottery because, you know, there's some drama that goes along with it. Who knows? Maybe one of those ping pong balls happened to fall on an unlikely team to get a top one, two, or three pick. Who knows? Anything could happen in the Draft Lottery. But what I particularly love is just seeing who represents each organization in the National Basketball Association at the Draft Lottery. You know, and for the Detroit Pistons, it was announced that Luke Kennard will be representing the D. Kennard, who the Pistons selected 12th overall last year in the NBA draft, he will represent the Detroit Pistons in Chicago. And you have some other interesting representatives out there as well. The Orlando Magic, this is the one that really, you know, my ears went up when I heard this because, you know, growing up in the 90s, you know, there were so many legendary commercials because that's when Michael Jordan really was at his height and sports marketing really started to change. The game really started to change with Michael Jordan, especially in the realm of basketball marketing and shoe contracts. We all know that the Jordans are still, the Jordan sneaker is still the most popular sneaker in the game, which is amazing to me because Michael Jordan has been retired for quite some time now. But, you know, one of those marketing campaigns that was really popular back in the 90s was, you know, Penny Hardaway, who was a great guard for the Orlando Magic. You know, if it wasn't for injuries, if you remember, you know, Penny Hardaway used to play alongside Shaquille O'Neal. And if those two could have ironed out their differences... We've heard that before when it comes to Shaq, right? The whole Kobe saga out in L.A. But if Shaq and Penny could have ironed out their differences and swallowed their pride, my goodness. I mean, the Orlando Magic could have really had something special in the 90s. But that didn't happen, and Penny, you know, Penny just couldn't stay healthy. But Penny Hardaway at one time was one of the best players in the league. He had signed a shoe contract, and there was a marketing campaign that was genius. Was genius. One of my favorite comedians, Chris Rock, when he was up and coming, they hired Chris Rock to voice Lil Penny. Lil Penny was a miniature doll of Penny Hardaway, rocking the Orlando Magic jersey. And Chris Rock was basically, you know, the comedian and voice behind Lil Penny, as basically Penny Hardaway just sat silent during these commercials. We do have a snippet courtesy of our fantastic engineer, Ian Hawley, a quick snippet of the Little Penny commercials from back in the 90s.
Ken Griffey Jr., athlete.
Hey, Nick, finish. This is a Griffey for President commercial. You know he's running for president, right? You know there's more to life than sports, man. There's politics.
He is a fabulous American hero. There hasn't
hey,
been anybody.
Hey, he got some interesting ideas about that flat pack. Check him out.
He picked the Mariner Moose as a running mate.
Now, that moose could be a liability. Hey, let me tell you what. I should be his running mate. I mean, that's a good job, because you don't got to do squat. Come on, Nick. Power to the people. Stick it to the man.
That's great stuff. Nick Anderson and Penny Hardaway are sitting on the couch, you know, they see a commercial of King Griffey Jr. It was a great marketing campaign. It was absolutely hilarious. I remember, you know, probably the commercial that stands out to me is when supermodel Tyra Banks made a guest appearance in one of the Little Penny commercials. But it was genius. It was genius. And, you know, still to this day, a lot of my homies back in Detroit, we bring up, you know, when we're discussing the best sports commercials of all time, Little Penny is up there. Well, Little Penny will be representing the Orlando Magic at tonight's NBA draft lottery. The one thing that I'm curious about is whether or not they will have Chris Rock in the house as well to be the voice of the Little Penny doll that will be present at tonight's NBA draft lottery. So going to be fun stuff. Now, going back to the Pistons, when it comes to their chances here, 7 out of the 1,000 ping pong balls, just 7 out of 1,000 will have the winning numbers for the Detroit Pistons. Now, when you do the math, that's a 0.7% chance of landing the top pick and a 2.5% chance of drawing anywhere in the top three. Now, if the Pistons don't move into the top three, their first round pick will belong to the LA Clippers as a part of, you guessed it, the January 29th Blake Griffin trade. And you all know I am not a fan of the Blake Griffin trade, particularly from a financial standpoint, because now through the year 2021, the Detroit Pistons will be shelling out more than $31 million for Blake Griffin, who, oh, by the way, has a player option on that final year of his contract. Can you say dollar, dollar bill, y'all? Now, don't get me wrong. Blake Griffin, a dynamic player, one of the faces of the NBA, but the dude is injury prone, can't stay healthy, got injured on the back end of the Detroit Pistons season this year. I just think they tremendously overpaid for him. All right. But now it costs them, you know, a first round pick. If they don't land in the top three here, with all signs point to the Pistons not landing in the top three here, I mean, Luke Kennard is really going to have to be some special good luck charm in order for this to happen. If they don't land in the top three, that first round pick will go to the LA Clippers. The Pistons have had, and this surprised me when I read this, just 9 top three selections since moving to Detroit from Fort Wayne dating back to 1957. The most recent being, and I hate to bring this up, Detroit Pistons fans, the most recent being back in 2003 when they selected the superstar, Darko Milicic, at number 2. So, yeah, the Pistons have not had great history when it comes to the NBA draft and the NBA draft lottery. Detroit has the 42nd overall selection in the second round for the draft that will take place at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. BX stand up. Mark your calendars for June 21st. So, again, Ian, this just further illustrates how idiotic this trade was to bring aboard Blake Griffin. You're paying the man over $31 million for the next few years here. He can make more than that in his final year because there's a player option there in place, but it also costs you future possible stars of the league. And not having a first-round pick if you don't land in the top three, which, let's be real here, that's probably not going to happen tonight. So I'm not a big fan of this whole trade. Who knows? They have to, you know, hope and pray that with that 42nd pick, maybe they land the next Draymond Green, who was tremendously underrated and ended up being and becoming a star in today's NBA. But you're seeing this Blake Griffin trade really bite the Pistons in the rear end unless they somehow, some way, get lucky tonight.
Yeah, this is the time where people should really be scratching their heads with the Blake Griffin trade if they weren't really paying attention to it before, because this is going to hurt them for a long time. I mean, all I have to say to the Pistons is good luck with that. I mean, I really have nothing else to say on that subject, because otherwise I'll just get upset, and that's not what I want to have happen
right
now.
You start steaming, you start raging, and, you know, disrupting everything that's going on behind the glass, right?
Things are going to get broken back here, and that's not what we want.
Yeah, we don't want to call the cops, right? We don't want that. So let's just.
I'd like to keep my job at least for one more day.
But so, you know, I want to, before we hit this first break here, I do want to let you guys know who has the most likely spot of landing that number one pick. The Phoenix Suns, they have a 25% chance of landing the number one overall pick. They have a 64.2% chance of landing anywhere in the top three. And get this, ESPN is saying that the top three picks that, you know, the Phoenix Suns or anybody who lands number one overall should comb over and think about are, number one, DeAndre Ayton, number two, Luka Doncic, and number three, Mr. Jaren Jackson Jr. from right here at Michigan State University. How about that? Jaren Jackson Jr. Is definitely going to be a top five pick in my estimation. And, you know, and they're, as I'm reading this piece and they're going through these teams, that the second most likely squad to land the number one overall pick is the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, they're saying that, okay, yeah, it should be Luka, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr. Then number three, the Dallas Mavericks, who have a 13.8% chance of landing the number one pick, a 42.6% chance of landing in the top three. So Jaren Jackson, and again, as we get closer to that June date, we will have an NBA draft special without a doubt. And we'll talk about, you know, what's the likelihood of Jaren Jackson Jr. becoming a stud at the professional basketball level in the NBA? And also Miles Bridges, who maybe 2 years ago, if he would have came out after his freshman year, I think Miles Bridges would have been a lottery pick. And now he's being estimated of going anywhere from 10 to 15. So we'll see what happens. But good luck to my Detroit Pistons. And we'll see if Lil Penny can bring some luck to the Orlando Magic. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will bring you news coming out of the Michigan High School Athletic Association as they have decided to modify how they handle transfers at the high school level. We will chat with Jeff Kimmerly, MHSAA Media and Content Coordinator, about that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A, now ushering you into segment B. And in just a moment, we hope to have Jeff Kimmerly, a part of our airwaves. He is the Michigan High School Athletic Association Media and Content Coordinator. And, you know, the reason why we're having Jeff on is because there are a lot of folks out there who follow high school sports who aren't happy with the latest news coming from the MHSAA that the Michigan High School Athletic Association has approved stricter, but in some cases more lenient, transfer restrictions. The MHSAA Representative Council announced yesterday that it had approved a stricter transfer regulation for athletes who change schools to play a specific sport. Now, instead of sitting out, one semester after transferring. Get this. Athletes will have to sit out an entire school year in their specific sports. But the same athletes are now permitted to participate immediately in sports that they did not participate at their former schools. So let's just say you play basketball at a high school. You decide to transfer to a different high school. When you do make that transfer decision, you cannot play basketball for that year. You got to sit out an entire year. However, you can play baseball. You can run track and field, you know, volleyball, softball, golf, whatever. You just can't play that sport that you played at your previous high school. Now, for me, I don't really understand that. I don't get that. I think that, in my opinion, the MHSAA are completely overthinking this. And I'm sure many of you are reading the story and hearing it, you know, for the first time and saying to yourself, well, you know, this is an obvious retaliation to the Thomas Kithier situation. You know, Thomas Kithier, you know, he never wanted to be a part of controversy. You know, he never wanted to be the face of controversy. No, nobody does, right? And the reason I'm bringing up Thomas is because you look at his situation. You know, this past year was supposed to be his senior season playing basketball. You know, he had committed to Michigan State and has committed to Michigan State under the leadership of Tom Izzo. And, you know, he made a transfer to Clarkson High School. You know, he just wanted to play basketball, help lead Clarkson to another state championship. Instead, there was tremendous drama due to the transfer, and he didn't get a chance to, and he was ruled ineligible. And there are a lot of folks out there that are looking at that situation and saying, okay, this is why they're making this current rule. All right, to discuss this further, we have right now ready on line one, MHSAA Media and Content Coordinator, Jeff Kimmerly. Jeff, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, my friend?
I'm well, Al. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Well, I just got through kind of introducing, the latest news that was released yesterday as the MHSAA has approved stricter transfer restrictions. Jeff, can you kind of take us through why the MHSAA felt that this rule was needed?
Sure, absolutely. The first thing I'll tell you is this conversation started long before the name Thomas Kithier was even talked about in this office. That really had no tie at all to the fact that we have this new rule. I would say the first conversations about what we could do with the transfer rule were made or started probably May of last year, if not a little bit earlier. For a couple different reasons, to be honest. One of the main ones being it would maybe be a better scenario for schools if our transfer rule was a little bit simpler, a little bit easier to enforce, a little bit easier for people to understand, which I think this revision of the transfer rule fits that. And the other really major part about this is schools in our state are tired of kids changing schools, transferring, moving around for sports, to find better sports opportunities to play with their club teammates, to jump from school to school to school, not only, you know, changing up competitive equity in a lot of sports at times, but also taking away opportunities from students who have grown up in their districts, creating a lot of headaches when it comes to all these transfers, ins and outs, and getting halfway through a basketball season and suddenly having a bunch of rosters changing because a bunch of people are becoming eligible, things like that. So schools really wanted a change, and when we first discussed what the possibilities were, you know, we didn't necessarily know that it would be embraced as strongly as it was, but we did a lot of surveying of our membership. we took this on the road to league meetings, to the state athletic administrator meetings that take place throughout the year. Really all over the state, we took this and talked to people who are in the know, and the support for this rule that our representative council enacted was just very significant and very heavy, and so this is where we are.
Now, Jeff, you mentioned, the competitive imbalance. I mean, how often, due to transfers at the high school level here in this state, speaking of competitive imbalance, how frequent do you see competitive imbalance due to transfers?
You know what? You see it more than people probably in this area understand. It's especially down in the Detroit area, for example. It's pretty well known that when you hit that middle of the winter semester, you're going to have some significantly altered basketball teams because of players who have sat out the first 90 days and will become eligible for the second half of the season. It's pretty well known that that's going to happen. It's pretty well known that starting football practice or even after, even earlier than that, to be honest, it's pretty well known before the second semester of the previous year starts what football players are moving around to different schools and how football teams are going to look different. Those are just a couple of examples. It happens in other sports too, but those are the main ones, and those are the sports that are most visible and the sports that are most covered by the media and things like that. So those are the ones where people pay attention. It's almost disheartening. There are some media reports, and I'm not beating up on the media. I was in the media for 12 years. I mean, I love the media. But it's disheartening that there are literally some people down in the Detroit area that report every time a transfer moves from school to school. You know, even if it's 6 months before football season, this person transferred. But you know what? At the same time, it's probably newsworthy. And those are the transfers that this rule really should slow down. Schools, in addition to the things I brought up already, we're tired of playmakers changing teams and really changing up the setting and the equilibrium of what high school sports are supposed to be about and what equity, competitive equity is supposed to be about. And so this rule, it's going to really make some people think harder if they want to transfer schools, and it's going to really make people have to be dedicated to that new district because they're going to have to either move to be eligible right away or follow one of their, fall under one of the other 14 exceptions to our transfer rule. And obviously there are a ton of these exceptions, and they cover just about every scenario and situation. But you're going to have to really make a pledge to get to that new district and become part of that new district to play on those teams right away.
Now, Jeff, you mentioned how this transfer rule and modification was already, these conversations were already in place before the whole Thomas Kithier controversy. With that being said, did the Thomas Kithier situation put more pressure on you all to do something, though?
No, I don't think so. Because the thing is, the Thomas Kithier situation wouldn't have really been any different under the old rule or the new rule. His situation still had to do with being 18, moving without his parents to a new place, a school not signing off on it, and being considered an athletic motivated transfer. So there really wouldn't have been any change there, regardless of what the rule is. This is really motivated more by the fact that for 4, 5, 6 years now, we've seen some pretty widespread changing of schools for athletic purposes. It's kind of following and you hate to pick on one sport or another or one organization or another, but to put it in terms that a lot of people would understand, it's really seeing high school sports transforming a little bit into this AAU mentality where if you don't like your coach, you go somewhere else. If you don't like your teammates, you go somewhere else. If you don't feel like you're being used in a system correctly, you go somewhere else. I was on a different show last week talking about this, and a dad called in and said that his son is one of the best quarterbacks in the state in middle school, and he wants to put his son in the right system for his talents and all these things. And that's not what this is supposed to be about. Those are the things that high school sports are not at all supposed to be about. And so this is kind of what has been the motivation and the impetus for this new regulation, which I'm assuming I haven't really explained it. I'm guessing you probably explained it before I came on.
Yeah.
How this exactly will work.
I clarify that, you know, when it comes to this transfer rule, I mean, when a transfer happens, that said player will only be that said player cannot participate in a sport that they previously participated in at that other school. They have to wait a year for that. They will have to sit out a year for that, but they can't participate in other sports.
Right. And it's only for the previous year.
For the previous year.
Right. But there are still the 15 exceptions, and you hit it 98% on the nose, and I appreciate that. There are still the 15 exceptions, though. So if a family fully and completely up and moves from one school district to the next,
mm-hmm.
those athletes are eligible right away. If there's a divorce in the family and somebody moves between parents, that can be an exception. And in addition to all of the exceptions, there still is an appeals process, too. So we have made this not only so that we can hopefully improve competitive equity, reduce the number of students who are transferring because of athletics, but at the same time, we've built in enough exemptions and enough opportunities to appeal to hopefully help the students that really shouldn't be caught up in this rule to have a chance to still be eligible immediately. We're talking about students that might have a really tough home life, or maybe they came from overseas and they are have been in a tough situation finding a home school, and so finally they're getting settled at the school where they're going to be at, and they haven't played a sport previously, or it's infinite, the number of possibilities, I guess, but we allow for schools to appeal this rule, and to explain why students should be eligible, and our executive committee will consider those when that time comes.
Jeff Kimmerly, MHSAA Media and Content Coordinator. Jeff, what do you say to those who say, okay, why allow those transfers to participate in other sports immediately that they didn't play at the previous high school? Why did you guys include that in there?
Well, because it still allows an athletic opportunity. And so this is actually becoming it's stricter in some ways. And, yeah, a lot of athletes will want to continue playing the sports that they've been playing. But we always hear about athletes trying new sports as well. And so this is giving an opportunity for someone who transfers and doesn't meet the exceptions and doesn't receive a waiver to still be able to be part of athletics. They just can't be part of the team that they're on or in the sport that they played at the previous school that previous year. So we're not taking away the opportunity to be part of high school athletics. We're just saying you can't play the same sport if you are transferring, for these reasons.
Any kind of backlash? What kind of backlash have you guys received, since this was announced yesterday, Jeff? I'm curious, when it comes to that backlash, has it been more so from the public and those parents, the parent that you just mentioned on another show?
I think what little backlash there has been that. I think a lot of people are still trying to understand what all of this means, and I don't think people will really truly get it until this fall, because the sports these students play in 18-19 will affect their eligibility in 19-20 if they transfer. So I think that's when this will really start to kind of bear out and people start to get an idea, okay, this is how this works. But I would say, like I said, we spent over a year talking to our schools about this. And really, we wouldn't have moved forward if they hadn't been so supportive. They were so strongly resolved in pushing something like this ahead that, we do what our schools ask us to do. And so the schools, I think, are very happy about this. I think people that work in athletics, not just athletic directors, but coaches and people like that, I think are pretty happy with this. I think the media response has been pretty good. Again, there are going to be some parents that aren't going to like the fact that they can't change their kids between schools or try and find the best situation or try to find, and it's not even the best situation, it's the best situation in their eyes because perceptions can become so skewed. But there are going to be some people that feel like, well, you know, I want to see where my child will get the most playing time, and that's just what I want to do. And you know what? I think there are a few of those out there, and they're probably not the happiest with this, but at the same time, we're serving, I think, 98% of the other people who will be happy with this. So,
okay, Jeff, is there anything that you before we get you out of here, anything that you want to clear up that maybe has been reported by the media or that you're seeing out there when it comes to this conversation? Any gray area that you want to make solidly known?
You know, the only thing I would say is, if people have a concern about what might happen for their son or daughter, if they have ideas about moving and or moving schools and not moving their family or things like that, I would say definitely talk to your athletic director right now. Do so before next school year starts. Absolutely. There's some information on our website about how this works, and there will be much more put out there. But really look at what this rule means and look at the fact that there are still the 15 exceptions and check those out because they really do cover a ton of scenarios. But again, that starts with talking to your local athletic administrator. They can explain a lot of these things to families. And I think the few people that we've had that have had some concerns in the school community when they've actually and then have the discussion and understood what is still available, then they say, oh, okay, well, this actually is going to, this will work. This will cover that situation or that situation. So, again, these are the people that were supporting this are the people that are in it every single day. And it's not us. You know, we see this actually being pretty difficult just because it's the change, and change is always going to be difficult at first for some people because it's just something different, but our schools wanted this badly. So I think we all just need to look at it, you know, fully, and then we can move ahead with it and understand that there's a lot here that we should be pretty excited about.
Jeff Kimmerly, MHSAA Media and Content Coordinator. Jeff, thank you so much for your time and clarifying a few things when it comes to this story. I really appreciate that.
Hey, anytime, Al. You have a good day.
You too, my man. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports. We'll talk about tonight's game two. LeBron James and the Cavs taking on the Boston Celtics. And I'll have some final thoughts on what we just heard from Jeff. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Who cares about what the other students and families think? It's not about them. It's about the athletes. This is crap. That is one of the few comments on our facebook.com/WKAR news page coming from our listeners, Ian, who are not happy about this this MHSAA transfer rule. I'm not a big fan of it either. I mean, it's high school sports, you know, because I tell you what, there was a situation when I was in high school where, you know, we had a transfer come in who transferred to my high school, Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And the reason, you know, I remember talking, you know, with this person, this athlete who transferred into our program. And I said, why'd you transfer, man? He was like, well, the coach, you know, really didn't do his due diligence in sending out my tapes to different colleges. I couldn't get any exposure. Now that I'm here, I can do that, you know, with this program. So it's high school sports. We're making this too complicated, I think. What do you think, again, as we come to the closing minutes here on Current Sports?
Yeah, I agree. It should be really all about the players as far as high school sports go. I mean, I know college athletics and beyond, it's concerned with making money. But, you know, high school sports don't generate a ton of revenue for the schools as it is. So we should just make it kid-friendly. Whatever the kids want to do, whatever they feel is best for them, we should make it possible for them to do that.
And the backlash of, okay, let's say you do have this transfer coming to your school and he may be a big-time player and he may take away minutes from you, you know, on the basketball court, the football field, or whatever sport it is. Kids, you know, you're in high school. That's how life is. That's how it goes. You know, I don't get this babying mentality that we have with today's kids sometimes. You know what I mean? That happens in the workforce all the time. If somebody comes in, you know, to your job who is outperforming you, step your game up. You know what I mean? Don't cry about it. This is high school. That kind of, it'll be different for me. If we were talking about elementary school, PAL league football, then I would have a problem because you're playing the game for fun. These are kids at the end of the day. But when you're in high school, dude, you're almost 18 years old. That's how the real world is. And that's what really irritates me with this conversation. Okay, let me calm down. We'll have more on this with tomorrow's current sports. Before we get out of here, we got 90 seconds left, and I want to give a big shout-out to one of our current sports PAs who has been crushing it in these last few weeks here. He'll be with us throughout the majority of the summer. My man, Alec. This is a big day for him. You're seeing him on our Facebook.com/currentsports live stream and Facebook.com/WKAR news live stream. You're turning 21, Alec.
Yep.
How does it feel? You're a man now.
It feels great. I finally got the initiation process of being officially a Spartan by going to Rick's and Harper's, you know? So it's complete. I feel like a man now.
And you went to Rick's, and we're talking about he's a man now, as I just got through talking about a high school player. You're men when you're in high school. You're almost on the brink of manhood. But now you're officially a man when you turn 21, though. Mm-hmm. Alec, congratulations to you, man. Downhill from here.
I know.
Your 21st birthday hits, and it's like, yeah, I can finally go and buy a pop, right? That's the big thing when you're 2-1. So
exactly.
Congratulations.
Yeah, none of your birthdays matter anymore.
No, it's
just
goes
lying about being younger than you are.
You just get older. Yep. You just get older, man. But congratulations to
you.
Yeah, that is it's kind of like you're never a Spartan until you do go to Rick's or Harper's or Dublin. You know, those are the three spots here in EL. So congratulations to you, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Comment on our Facebook page. Wish Alec a happy birthday there, folks.
Please do. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. I'll be chatting with Mike Pesca, who has an interesting book coming out. What ifs? The what ifs of sports. You don't want to miss that on tomorrow's current sports. Be easy, people.